Welcome everyone to the Almost Awesome Esports Podcast. I am your host tonight, Ben, with my host and newly to the crew host, Taran as well, as Simon. How are you guys?
Hello everyone, I'm good, Simon.
Hello.
So, Almost Awesome is here to bring you the new trending esports news over the past week or so, but because this is a special occasion, we are coming up to New Year's Eve, so tonight, instead of reporting on the news, we're going to go over our favourite moments of 2015. Tonight's introduction was brought to us by Undertale Golden Flowers Save the World, his theme, by Overclocked University. Now, with that out of the way, let's get over to tonight's segment, which is highlights.
Yeah, so first of all, we have the one-minute quickie where we all have our five top players for 2015. So I'll go first, I guess. So my first pick, we have Marin, the top laner for SKT. He was obviously the most consistent player for SKT all year and was an integral part of the SKT winning the World Championship. Olaf Meister, he's just the best Counter-Strike player at the moment. It's good to see him in good form winning games for Fnatic. We've got Sumail, the 16-year-old player who helped carry Evil Geniuses to a win at the International. SOS, who won the final event on StarCraft II Heroes Heart of the Swarm. And finally, we've got Kira. He was the mid laner who won the 1v1 tournament at All-Stars and single-handedly carried CIS to the All-Star event. Simon, do you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. I've got Hiko from Liquid, Team Liquid, Counter-Strike. Mm-hmm. All I can really say is, Hiko, are you kidding me? We got Happy from Envy. After his Deagle Ace that he got on Inferno, he has to be up there. I've got Barracuda from C9 Smite Team. He is the ADC and he's definitely one of the best ADCs in Smite. In the world. We've also got Biggie from Avant-Garde. He's the mid laner, I believe. And we've got Hearthstone, which is Dog. He is number one in the world, so he's got to be the best.
Ooh, fair enough. What about you, Ben? You got your top five?
Ooh, it's really hard to say top five because there's so many fantastic players out there. I'm just going to round a few names just off the top of my head because I can't simply just draw them down to five. We have SKT1's All-Star and pretty much renowned as one of the best mid laners in League of Legends. We've got Faker. We've also got Froggen. He is also a very good competitor. We've got Babe as well. Who else is there? Doublelift, that's now gone over to TSM. He's a very good ADC as well as a 1v1 competitor. How's that? That's four. And, Jerkson. He's probably going to be my fifth one for tonight.
Bjergsen, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a decent list. Finishing on that, though, let's look at the best moments of 2015. Simon, do you want to go with yours first?
Best moment, yeah, sure. I think my best moment in Counter-Strike that I'm going to choose is Rain 1v5-ing Ace, 1v5 acing Envy on Cash. It was during the last major, and it was just crazy how they decided that they were going to win, and they just ran at him one by one, and he just picked them off. It was incredible to watch, and something that you probably never see again.
Yeah, there's a lot of players that do that, you know? When it's 1v5, let's all just go in 1v1, we'll all take... Oh, wait, we're all dead. Jesus. You see it a lot playing, you know, at lower ranks, but it should not be a thing that happens in competitive play.
Oh, it should not be, but somehow it sneaks past, and you get some good moments out of it.
Yeah, for sure. I have a slightly different moment. Mine's over in League of Legends, and I've sort of gone with Cloud9's run two worlds. So essentially, for those who don't follow, Cloud9 finished 7th after winning a tiebreaker game to actually take 7th, which if they lost that game, they would not have been able to actually compete for worlds. Following that, they had to run a gauntlet, so they had to play the three best teams in NA, excluding TSM and CLG, who'd already made Worlds. They ended up beating Gravity in a reverse sweep. They beat Impact in a reverse sweep, and they beat Liquid 3-1. And then they went on to Worlds, and they just had... They competed surprisingly well for a lower-tier team. What about you, Ben?
I too will have to go for League of Legends moment for this year. It would have to be Doublelift versus Froggen in the 1v1 semi-finals. Later this year, sorry, at the All-Stars event in Australia. I take my hats off to the fellas playing in Australian weather, having to be in an open arena while it's spitting. Probably not the best place to play League of Legends, but they did both put on a fantastic show. I don't know how they managed it, but both times Froggen happened just to land in the enemy fountain after Doublelift backing. I don't know how he managed that, but it happened. And they just put on a spectacular show.
Anyways, when you have really good moments, there's also terrible moments. And for me, one of the worst moments I think I've seen in gaming all year was a Hearthstone match between Life Coach and Pavel in the finals of the European Hearthstone qualifier. Essentially what happened was Life Coach put a Sylvanas on the field, and rather than clearing the Sylvanas before placing Dr. Boom, he simply placed Dr. Boom straight down and then cleared the Sylvanas. The Sylvanas took his Dr. Boom, which won Life Coach the game and sent him to BlizzCon. It was just a terrible misplay that just... devastating. What about you, Ben? What was your worst moment of the year?
I'd have to say, going back to Worlds for League of Legends, it'd be TSM's performance. They were a really hyped team, and they did show some potential, but they just let down after let down after poor performance after poor performance. It was just train wreck, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that was a lot of the teams, though, at Worlds.
I've got a kind of sadder note, where the former C9 player, Senphis, admitted to taking the prescription drug Adderall during the ESL 1 Katowice. That was just... we all knew it was happening, but to actually hear a player admit that he did it is just incredible. It changed the way that all of ESL is doing their drug testing for all drugs now, not even just Adderall. It's just... I don't even believe it.
Yeah, it's not just ESL now either. It's everyone. That became a major story after he brought that out. You know, everywhere's testing for drugs in esports. Especially, they're even testing for marijuana now.
Yeah, that's what I found funny.
So without marijuana, esports wouldn't be a thing.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
Well, how else do you play a game for 18 hours a day, six days a week?
That's true. Yeah. Without some sort of help.
Yeah, definitely.
The world does have coffee, after all, for some reason.
True that. For these best and worst moments that happen, you've obviously got teams. And in 2015, there were quite a few teams that stood out as being real high-quality teams. For me, one of my favorites was just watching Fnatic, both in Counter-Strike and League of Legends. In Counter-Strike, we saw them, you know, at the start of the year, they were the dominant team. They were sort of winning everything here, there, and everywhere. They were unstoppable. And then they had sort of a slight dip in the middle of the year, where, you know, they weren't quite up to the standards. And then with the roster change, they finished the year just extremely dominant. Same as in League, you know, we saw the 18-0 split in spring. We saw, you know, it's just Fnatic as an organization. It shows that Fnatic is just a top-tier organization. What about you, Simon? Who was your best team of 2015?
Best team has to be Envy after they got Kenny and Apex. They are an unstoppable juggernaut of just winning game after game and after game. And it's just... before they got Kenny and Apex, they were a decent team, but they still got beat out by people like Cloud9 and stuff like that, which is surprising. But after they got Kenny and Apex, they are now the number two seed team in the entirety of the world. So I just have to go with them. They're just on top of the world right now.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Ben? Who was your best team of the year?
So my best team for this year, I'm going to go with an OCE representative, which is Chefs. Chefs did a spectacular performance this year, getting to the finals up against Bangkok Titans to see who would go on to Worlds. Sadly, they didn't make it that far, but hey, we don't see many OCEs represent in higher tier teams, let alone make it to competitions such as Worlds, so I reckon they've got the potential to push on next year.
Yeah, Chiefs is definitely one of the top tier OCE organizations, and, you know, OCE being such a small region, it'll be good to see them, you know. Hopefully next year we might be able to go that one step further and make it to Worlds and get wrecked by the best players in the world. But we'll see. Of course, same with the moments, but you have these really good teams. You also have really disappointing teams, and for me it has to be LGD in League this year. They were the top team throughout the entire year. They won MSI in the middle of the year, and then we had sort of at Worlds they just dropped off and didn't even make the quarterfinals. To me, a team with, you know, such star power as Imp, they should be, you know, absolutely dominating, beating these smaller teams, especially, you know, teams from NA in Europe. But yeah, what about you, Ben? Who was your most disappointing team of the year?
Ooh, most disappointing team, I'd have to say TSM, going back to the same reason as the worst moments of 2015, is just their performance. It's just disappointing. I mean, they've played miraculously throughout the last few seasons, and when coming into Worlds this year, like I said before, there was a big hype train behind them, but they just live up to the expectation that everyone had of them. And it's not just saying that they're a bad team, but they just performed very poorly for someone of their tier.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they had a really good run getting to Worlds. Like, they ended up, I think they pretty much won two or three games in a row in the finals, coming from the bottom of the final contenders. But their performance at Worlds was just sort of, especially against teams like Origin, where they should have been more competitive. Especially with, you know, Dyrus's last games, it should have been more competitive, and it was disappointing. What about you, Simon?
Going back to the team swap between Titan and Envy, I have to go with Titan. Titan was the powerhouse at the start of this year, having Kenny and Apex just carrying the team, and Shoxi and all that stuff were just, they were just powerhouses, and you could not beat Titan. They were number one or number two behind Fnatic. And then after they swapped and Kenny went to Envy and Apex went to Envy, they got nothing. I think they're in like the 14th spot, and that's just not good for a team that was the greatest at the middle of the year to this by the end of the year.
It's definitely laughable that a team that was top tier sort of competing up against the likes of, you know, former TSM, well, question mark, and Fnatic, to be, you know, sinking down so low, to be struggling against teams like, you know, Renegades and Luminosity and that sort of thing. It's not the sort of thing we should be seeing from these high quality teams.
Oh, definitely not. That's my most disappointing team. So hopefully in 2016, Titan will pick back up and become a top tier team again.
Yeah, definitely. Are you a supporter of Titan, or?
I was, but I don't really follow them as much anymore. I'm more into the NA teams and the OCE teams and the select few of the European teams.
I assume you're talking about, you know, the likes of Fnatic, TSM.
Yeah.
The high quality ones.
Yeah, Fnatic and question mark, and with NIP's new roster changes that are happening currently, should come out early next year to find out what's happening with that. I'm looking at NIP to be a great team next year. Oop, that's the next question. Oops.
Spoiling it. But just speaking about NIP quickly, have they announced much? I think the last time I looked, they've announced two of their new players?
Yeah, I think they have announced their third player, I believe. But I'm not sure really what they're doing with that. They're quite... I'm not sure. People are speculating that they're going to keep Forrest and going to keep Get Right.
Yeah.
And they're going to put Exist as a coaching role. But I think Exist is going to move off and do something else, because with his experience and his specialty, you can't keep him as a coaching role. You need to have him in game and be fighting it out with the rest of the team rather than just telling everyone what to do.
Yeah, but if he has this knowledge of the game, you know, maybe he just doesn't want to be playing anymore and he wants to have this backseat role where he can use his knowledge and he can see what's going on and explain and pass on his skills to other players.
Yeah, that would be the ideal point, but it's really up to him. Up to see what he does, and hopefully we get something good out of MIP being up to being the number two team again.
Exactly. But speaking of 2016 and NIP, do you think they will succeed in 2016?
I think so. If they really get some people that can really help the team chemistry, because I know that Alu wasn't, because he couldn't speak the language and he couldn't speak the whole thing. They had to speak in English and it was slowing them down as a team. So I think if they can get some good native speakers and they can really get the team chemistry back on, I think they will be a top-tier team again.
For sure. Are there any other teams that you think might begin to succeed next year? You know, someone that we haven't seen the likes of sort of put their head up and be one of these top 10 teams?
I know that Luminosity, the Brazilian team, they have come a long way. They were the wild card challenger in the Cologne games, and now are number 7 on the whole like world leaderboard. So
yeah,
to see that happening and see them really, an unknown team, come out of nowhere and really show it, could be really cool to see a team such that's not from the big areas, not from NA, not from Europe, but it's a team from Brazil. They're the underdogs that no one knows, wasn't known about, and I'm really excited to see what happens with that.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's sort of two teams sitting around sort of the 10th to 15th sort of, you know, rankings that could push up there into the top 10, and that would definitely be Luminosity.
Yeah.
And
Luminosity and probably Renegades? I want to say Renegades, but I'm not sure. I think if they can boot camp a lot and they can get their head in the game, then they will do well.
Their whole move to NA, I'm hoping, just sort of pushes them that step further to make it into the top 10.
Yeah, I really hope so. They're at, like, I think 15th now, so
yeah,
they're almost there.
I really want them to do well, though, because if they do well over there, they bring back, you know, these high-quality skills back to the Oceanic region, which forces teams like Immunity, Legacy, Avant to just get better, which then puts us on a higher tier, which essentially should allow us to do what we haven't done in games like League and compete on the global scale.
Exactly, yeah.
What about you, Ben? What team do you think will succeed in 2016, or which team would you like to see succeed in 2016?
Once again, I'm going to have to go with Chess with that one. They have performed well, they have gotten far, and I reckon from the experiences they've gained over the last 12 months, they can actually put that into plan, put that into motion, and progress further into the higher tiers. They have what it takes. They just need to put plan on paper and just execute it time after time again until they can succeed.
Yeah, definitely. I think Chiefs is like the powerhouse in Oceania, but there are other teams here that we'll be pushing them this season, I think. We've got teams like Hellions, which has actually imported 2 Korean players to join them. You've got Legacy, who, as their manager said here a couple of weeks ago, they've actually got a player house now. Well, they're getting a player house, which will sort of improve their quality of playing. There's going to be a lot of competition in the Oceanic region. But just looking back at, you know, one of the teams you were saying had really terrible play this year was TSM. And I think next year, one of our listeners, Weaverin on Twitter, agrees with me in saying that TSM, with their new roster, with people like Double Lift, with Svensgaren, with Bjergsen in the mid lane, they should be they should dominate NA. But where is it? But there's other people, sort of like HTTR2015 on Twitter, that thinks that this hype train is sort of just a myth. And sort of with that, with all these large personalities like the Double Lift, the Svensgaren, Reggie in the background, you know, there's going to be issues and conflicts, and it's not going to work. As we were talking about earlier, Renegades is definitely my hopeful for 2016. Greg on Facebook seems to think that Cloud9's going to have a dominating year with Rush being in the team. Combine that with, you know, High's knowledge and shot calling in the game, Sneaky being a top ADC. What do you think about that, Ben? Do you think C9 will be sort of a top-tier NA team again, or do you think they'll continue their fall-off of last year?
C9 has had a very rough patch over the last 2 seasons or so, but this goes for not only C9, but every team. They have got the skill, they have got what it takes. They really just need to put their head into the game. They really need to just focus. They need to synergize with one another, not really bicker. We have seen teams fall before because, well, there was no synergy. There was just no compatibility between players. And they have got what it takes. They just need to execute it.
Yeah, definitely. I think now that Incarnation sort of had a year to develop as a player, and, you know, High being there with their shot calling and all that sort of stuff, they should be a good team. But NA is such a big competition this year, it's going to be difficult. Especially with the changes in the summer split. With best of threes, you have no idea what's going to happen.
Of course, and that's going to bring more pressure to the game as well.
Yeah, definitely. It'll stop things like Keane's cheese picks with, you know, the Urgot and Hecarim mid. It's going to be much less of a, you know, something that's going to win games. Of course, we have these teams that we hope succeed, but there's also going to be teams that fall off and come down to the bottom of the rankings. Do you have any of those, Ben? Any teams you see falling down towards the bottom, potentially facing relegation next year?
I'm going to have to go against something you said earlier in this podcast, and I'm going to have to go with Fnatic. Over the last few months, we have seen, with their teams, a lot of chopping and changing, a lot of interesting things going on. And to be honest, if they don't stick together, it's only going to go downhill.
Yeah, possibly, but I think with their coach, their coaching staff, as well as, you know, Reckless in the bot lane, Febiven in mid lane, they've got really top-tier new players with Gamsu and I think is it Spirit coming in? So they look like they have a solid team. It'll prove, because people were saying the same thing last year with Huni and Rainover in the jungle. They were talking about, you know, this team should fall off, they shouldn't be a top team, and then they go 18-0. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. But I'm kind of on the opposite. What were you saying, sorry?
I was going to say, being a new team of players, I should say, it's going to be pretty interesting as they don't have much time before the new season starts to practice.
Yeah, yeah, the LCS starts in just under a month. I think it's about 2.5 weeks now. So, and because of that, I think, to me, CLG is one of the teams that's going to fall off. I mean, you've got all these other NA teams pulling in players like GBM from Korea, TSM being the new powerhouse. You've got teams like NRG, Team Echo Fox, all these teams with all this money and all these imported players just simply making them powerhouses, and CLG's got, well, very, very little. I see them falling down, but I'm not sure how far down. I think they might end up being sort of a middle-of-the-range team, sort of between 5th and 8th. Hopefully not down 8th, though, because I don't want to see them relegated. Same thing as in CS. I see Fnatic in CS being one of the teams that may fall off. With all this domination, they might get a bit cocky. What do you think of that, Simon?
It's definitely a possibility. They have been on top for so long, you got to expect them to fall off eventually. But I don't see it happening anytime soon. They just picked up Dennis, and they seem to be like on top of their form. They don't really have any changes. They just seem like Pronak's leaving and Dennis moving in. It seems like it's just a equal split. There's no difference in their playstyle. They all kind of communicate very well. I don't know. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at people more like Cloud9, who have, after seeing Sean leave, and whoever they're picking up next, I think, has come out already, I'm not sure. I don't know if they're going to really become as good as they were. They're in a downward spiral, and I don't think they can really get out of that unless they change up their style a lot. They seem to be doing a lot of prep and trying really hard, just not getting anywhere. So I really want to see them do well, but I'm not sure if they really will, that's being honest there.
Yeah, I don't know. They were a top-tier NA team, but now you have teams like Liquid and Hiku moving forward that seem like they're just going to overtake them as the best team in NA.
Definitely. They were number one, and then something happened where everyone else learned their playstyle, and like Liquid and Renegades even, I want to see them beating them, but
Do you classify Renegades as an NA team now that they've moved over there?
Yeah, they're an OCE / NA team. Like, they're versing NA teams, and they're doing alright against them, but I still see them as a OCE team, but I can classify them as an NA.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's an OCE, but to everyone else, it's an NA.
Yeah.
Well, being over there, technically they are NA once they're on the circuit, but the thing is they're bringing players from OC, they're bringing styles, tactics, you name it, all that from their experiences in Oceanic, where they're up against North Americans playing how North Americans play.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I don't know, because they still come back over here and play from time to time against, you know, Immunity, Legacy, and some of the competitions like the Counterpeat League. All that sort of stuff, so I don't know.
As far as I know, they're still stationed in Australia. They just are doing LANs and stuff. And when they have big LAN tournaments, I think they just fly over there to America, because I think they've all still got day jobs. I know that Sponge is a plumber, so he's still working with his dad.
I thought they were moving over there permanently.
I think they will eventually, once they can really, I think they might be doing that next year. I hope to see them doing that next year, but
I think that's the push they need to sort of make the top 10. Moving over there, not doing what OC does, and, you know, not taking it as a full time job, because over here you can't, obviously.
Yeah, no, but if they take it as a full time job and they practice their hearts out and end up like moving into a whole gaming house where they can all play together all the time.
Yeah,
I think they will. I can see them being top tier team.
Definitely.
Or a top 10 team.
I know. I've got trust in Monte Cristo to, you know what he's doing with that team. Even though he's sort of the face of, well, Korean League, he's like the owner of this team, and he knows more about CS than we all think he does. So, I trust in him there. Anyway, that's pretty much about it for a summary of the year. Did we miss anything? Anyone got anything else there?
Nope. I've got everything out.
Nope. What about you, Ben?
Oof.
Any last minute?
While we're still on the topic of teams going down next year, C9, what happened with their Dota 2 team? It was stable. I mean, they did lose one or two players, and then just out of nowhere, sorry, we're not doing Dota 2 anymore. And I know C9's having struggles in other teams such as their League and Counter-Strike, but just out of nowhere, they just dropped a team.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like Cloud9 as an organization is just sort of going downhill. They're failing in... Well, they were failing in League for most of last split. They're failing in CS now. They've dropped Dota 2, even though they say they're coming back to it. Their Hearthstone team is sort of to be desired. I don't know what's happening at C9. It seems like there might need to be some changes at the organizational level.
I know that I read a couple days ago that G2A is not paying out to its sponsors, and I know that Cloud9 is a big sponsor. G2A is a big sponsor of Cloud9, so I think that might be also it, that they're losing their money and they don't really know what to do, because they're not they don't think they have someone that's really doing their books very well.
Yeah, I know there was a problem back at League Worlds where G2A was not allowed to be a sponsor on any jerseys.
Yeah, I heard about that. Wasn't it because they were soliciting boosting on their site? Like, you could buy boosting for your account.
Yeah, you could buy a level 30 account. So Riot, or Rito, as we say, pretty much said, no, you're not allowed to sponsor teams. So they said, well, we're not paying them then.
Yeah, so I think there's a whole issue with sponsors, and I hope to see G2A really become a real sponsor, because they're a good sponsor when they pay out, and they've got they've got lots of sponsors, and they sponsor a lot of things, so hopefully they can actually pay up, and means these teams can really show what they're worth, show what they're made of.
Yeah, definitely. It's all good. Anyway, I think that's pretty much it for that section, for the roundup of 2015 and thinking about 2016. Head into the play of the week now, which I think we can all be in agreement here. We're recently at ESL, IEM Cologne, I should say. EVER, one of the Korean secondary teams, they can't actually make it into the professional league, ended up taking out the tournament against Zhaogu, one of the major Chinese teams, which, to me, deserves play of the week. Seeing a team that, you know, can't even make the major league in their country win an international tournament. Anyway, with that, I think it's about time we wrap it up. Ben, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Synchro with underscore at the end of it, or you can find me on the OC servers League of Legends at White Ravenix. We probably will put all our details in the description of the podcast, so make sure to check them out. What about you, Simon? Where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter at @AAE_Simon, and I'm on League because I've turned to the dark side at DJ Monkey Vomit on the OCC servers. Well, don't even talk to me. I'm also on. You can also go to the Facebook page, the awesome, Almost Awesome Esports Facebook page, and chill with us, and see when the new episode come out, so you can be on top of it straight away. That you, Ben? You, Taran?
You can find me on Twitter at TaranOwens108. You can find me on Steam at, what is my name at the moment? Mr. Inconsistent. Play lots of CS, all that sort of stuff. You can find me on Battle.net at Taboo108. And on League at Taboo108. I hope I haven't trolled any of you online. Anyway, that about wraps us up. We'll leave you with some music from Undertale Golden Flowers, Save the World, his theme by Overclock University. Catch us.
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in. And remember, stay awesome.